brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, monks, Kabbalists, wizards, mystics, sons and daughters of God, welcome to Mr. Woo Woo. Welcome back, everybody, to the Mr. Woo Woo podcast. I missed you. I'm your host, Joshua. Back from an amazing, recharging, very revelatory and awakening trip to our favorite mountain up north. And I'm joined by Mrs. Woo Woo today. So thank you, love, for joining us.
Thank you.
I am overjoyed to have you here with me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Always. Always. For our listeners, I was wondering if you could tell them why we go up there the full moon in May.
Mm.
If you're feeling open to it. If not, we could just say we go there to do some woo-woo stuff.
We do go there to do some woo-woo stuff.
That is very true. That is so true.
I thought we talked about it last May when we did the podcast there in Mount Shasta. No?
I think so.
We didn't talk about that last time?
Yeah, I think so. This trip was really unique, right? How did it start out? Like,
this was a very unique trip. Well, we drove very quickly. You chose to leave very early in the morning. You said, let's leave at 2 in the morning.
That's
right. And we actually did.
Yes.
Or actually, I think you said 2:30, and then we actually left at 2. Anyway, we got there in record time. Guided in by a bald eagle. Just, we're heading up to 5, California 5 North.
It was a very pleasant
and just boom,
traffic-free drive.
We start heading in towards the mountainy part. You're through a lot of farmland for a long time. And then, boom, you start into the mountainous sort of area, and a bald eagle just comes flying right next to us.
That was pretty awesome.
It was a great greeting.
It was a nice greeting.
You know, and like, you're heading to the mountains now.
Like, the sun didn't even come up till after we were almost in Fresno.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really details, you know, like that.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
We stayed at a pretty cool spot. We had like a administrative snafu.
Oh yeah, that was a silly kind of thing.
Yeah, so like we're driving like 11 hours, right? I'm trying to make it there. I make it there in 10, so I'm driving like Dan Aykroyd in you know the movie, just fucking pedal to the metal, and I'm just trying to beat out traffic at various bottlenecks.
Which you totally were doing.
Which somehow, like, I was guided to be able
easy.
To do that.
There was
and
not
I wasn't
a lot of
that tired.
Out. Really, it was really easy.
It was a really pleasant drive up. And that's part of the joy, is getting to drive right up through the chakra system of California, starting with our beloved San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we were blessed with perfect weather the whole time.
Oh, yeah, it was gorgeous weather. Yeah.
Right?
It was really nice weather. It was the best weather we've had there in a while.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And picturesque. Very like snow-capped mountains.
Shasta was very snow-capped. Mm-hmm. A lot of snow there again this year.
Blocked off certain pathways I wanted to explore.
Mm. But not as much snow as last year's, where we weren't even able to park and watch the moonrise last year.
Oh, you mean the wall o snow.
Yeah, this year it was nicely, like it was just up on the mountain itself. Yeah, we did go snowshoeing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a first. I'd never done that before. I felt really clunky doing it, you know? I was bummed that we only made it to, like, Panther Meadow. I'd hoped that
it
we had, like, made it, like, further.
Extremely a lot of snow. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the sun was warm. The
sun was very warm.
Yeah, so it was beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Snowshoeing. It was a cool adventure.
Ate a lot of good food. Mm-hmm. Mike and Tony's.
Oh, yeah. I love that Mike and Tony's.
And the clams and linguine. It was fucking believable, if you can imagine. It's like Hell's Kitchen comes out of you when they were in this place. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful Italian.
Nice old school Italian.
You know, father to son passed on restaurant. Mm-hmm.
Fried raviolis. Pleasant. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fried
if that's ever on a
raviolis.
Menu somewhere, just probably try it.
It was better. It was better with the sausage, though, don't you think?
One was meat and one was cheese, different nights that we ordered it.
Oh, the one with the meat, though.
Yeah,
was just like,
I think it does. They just don't tell you. It's a surprise, I guess. It's on the house. It says it's the house special or whatever.
It's whatever they got for you, which I love that attitude. Love that attitude.
Yeah, well, it's fresh made ravioli, so it's probably just what they got.
Got invited into the inner sanctum again of the I Am Sanctuary up there.
Yeah.
And all these very intriguing
ladies.
Yeah, the ladies were restoring old holy scripts.
Yep.
And doing it with the methodical focus of a librarian from Alexandria. Like, I mean, just everything was done with care.
Yeah.
And had really beautiful conversations with them about, I don't know, the concepts of ascension, going to light, what constitutes, you know, like trying not to revel. I remember a conversation about not reveling and like when people are getting their comeuppance, you know, like you don't want to get too overjoyed about that.
Yes.
I celebrate that a lot. Like, I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, yeah. You know, like standing over the corpse of Voldemort or whatever. Just like, Josh, he's dead. You know, I'd be like, yeah, fuck you, dog. You know, like that'd be if I was some young wizard in Hogwarts post Harry Potter returning his spell to him and he kills him. It's like, yay, after the explosive celebration that was clearly not depicted well in movie 7 part 2, is that I would be over there like mashing on Voldemort's face and using him like a practice dummy for magic. I'd be just like, stupendo. And I'd just be, they'd be like, Josh, he's,
but yeah, that's
Harry
not,
got him. He's gone. He's not there to, I'd be like, nah, fuck this guy. I'm going to be doing all kinds of shit. I'm going to like tie his fucking feet together and make him grow bunny ears and all kinds of shit. Cause you know, ding dong, the witch is dead, you know, in this case, evil. And that brings me to illusion pop number one that I had on my phone for a while ago. This is a great topic for us.
Yeah, there has been a lot of illusions being popped in this year of 2024. Truth year.
It's the truth year.
Yeah,
and
we're in it.
And first I'm going to, Oh, Marty, you're the best man. So let me see. The men who wanted to be, the illusion that good isn't good in the movies or in shows if it doesn't strike down or kill evil. Like Batman will never kill his enemy, right? He just keeps beating up Joker over and over again, just kicks the shit out of him and then puts him back in an insane asylum as though a crazy person gives a fuck about a left hook. And then lets him out, and then he'll kill another like 500 to 5,000 people. You know, just having a good old crazy time. Mm-hmm. And instead of just ending this dude, they keep putting a super genius who just can't stay, you know, has accomplices on the outside that don't never get caught.
Right.
And they just execute the fucking guy. You know, like the good, they always let like evil kind of like walk away. And not only just evil, because they'll kill the lesser guys. But like someone very powerful, they're like, no, you know what?
He should live.
He should live because we're the good guys. And I'll be like, what? Live to kill another 50,000 to a million people?
Totally. And then come back in the movie 10 years later, you know.
And, they're all stronger than ever. Yeah. And now they know like to get at you.
Yeah, totally.
Remember that was in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Spoiler alert. You know, murk like hundreds and hundreds of underlings. And then when it comes to the big boss, the guy responsible for the agony of hundreds and maybe thousands of planets and species.
Oh, yeah, I do remember now.
Then they go, you know what? We should let this piece of shit, super genius, probably with infinite resources, piece of asshole live. To what? Do it all over again and try to figure out how to beat you next time? Because evil never quits. It keeps trying to come back to kill good. So take a little tip from Joshy Poo. When Mike Myers is coming down the hallway and, you know, and you're like shooting him like full of holes, right? And it looks like an unstoppable evil. Feel free to go get the axe and chop his head off, then chop off his feet, then chop off his hands, because that would make him at least very predictable and immobile. And he would, you know. It's very difficult to pull it off without a head or central nervous system, but they never try that. So the hero wouldn't or shouldn't kill evil. I'm saying, hell no. I wrote down, hell no, end them. It's a lie that they tell so that we don't execute them or execrate them. Mm-hmm. Execration is a very powerful, painful, demonic, uncreating process that gives them back the full measure of what they've caused in reality as they're being kind of removed from existence, like layer at a time. So they've put out that propaganda in movies and shows so that you let evil walk away scot-free, and they just go, you know what? Gosh, I really learned my lesson in the wake of like a river of blood, of human blood, and the suffering of possibly thousands and millions. They go, well, you know, they go like, well, let's just detain this dude. No, no, no. Give him that Braveheart treatment. Open him like a pinata. Make sure everything goes in every direction so that they can't reassemble the pieces like fucking evil Voltron to come back and stomp us out of existence. So, yeah, that is propaganda they purposely do. Or like how the Emperor and Luke was like, oh, I don't, you know, you strike me down. If you strike me down, then you'll be as, no, he will not be evil. He'll have actually prevented evil that will happen six shitty movies from now.
Yeah. But probably some.
Palpatine will be dead.
You know, yeah. I would suppose and some religions, you know, some people may
it's
think,
it's a trick.
No,
I'm starting to think it's a demonic trick that Satan. Mm-hmm. Or whatever you think is of some total of evil figured out is that they go like, okay, Archangel Michael, now that you've got the point of the spear to my throat, you win. It's like that Loki shit. He'd be like, oh, do you think maybe I can have a drink that drink now? Like, no, we're going to pummel every square inch of your body until you vaporize and your matter and consciousness are scattered into infinity. So you can't harm anymore further down the road.
Totally. Yeah.
So, like, Batman never does that to Joker. Wonder Woman, when she's confronted with the poison lady, she's like, look at them. You just want to squish this lady who's responsible for the death already of hundreds of thousands of people in the movie Wonder Woman, right? She's a psycho murderer. She squeals with delight when
Dr.
Fauci of that, but has like the zebra accent because there's no tissue on the side of her face, like Two-Face, right? But a woman. And basically, she's like, and Ares is trying to get Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman, if he's basically insinuating, if she squashes this mass murdering psychopath woman who's going to clearly poison and kill thousands more after this, not a reformed Nazi, she's still crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like that if she squishes her like a bug with the tank, that she's somehow now evil like Ares. And I'm like, no, bitch. You squish that lady like the tarantula she is. Yeah. That's cool. Now you just prevented
like
more mass death. Remember the big plane that blows up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. She's like the Nazi Fauci. And like instead of like that airplane full of like COVID-19 shots, it's all the hydrogen bombs or whatever, the gas that she's invented that's supposed to drop into like New York or Washington and cause millions of death. Ares is insinuating that she's evil. If she squishes her like a bug, like the cancer she is.
Well, that's because he is teamed up with her, that evil Dr. Lee.
Right, but that my point is that it's the lie that evil or Satan is telling through that story.
Yeah.
That Wonder Woman isn't good if she doesn't kill that woman and kill him.
Yeah, well,
like it's
ultimately,
not like you don't want to kill evil. That's the trick.
It just reminds you
that's
who
one
makes
of the
these
tricks.
Movies. I mean, there you go.
That's just one of the tricks that they tell you. Mm. So if you're good and you have that opportunity to do that John Wick headshot, I'm not going to, you know.
You don't have to say anymore.
I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just saying, like, that's when evil is there, everybody knows. But that's, I'm just saying that's a lie that's been propagandized because good finally triumphs over evil. Evil goes, oh, well, I guess you're going to put me away in the jail cell, right? Be like, no, we're ending your existence, dude. And then you'd be like, oh, you mean so I can't rise again and again to do this to more of creation? Exactly.
Right.
So that was an amazing revelation I had about movies and how many of them encompass that. Good finally triumphs over evil, and then evil is either laughed away or, you know, they insinuate that good wouldn't be good. If you kill me, then you're just like me. You know, that whole bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. No, that's truly not true.
Yeah.
That's an illusion.
Well, it's just because that's who makes the movie. That's who makes the movies.
Evil people
man.
Make
yeah,
the
evil
movies.
Fucking people.
Right. People that love Epstein's Island.
Because there's plenty of like.
Flying with Mr. Bill, who loves the 32 trips over to Epstein's Island. Anyway, that was a really bad Nick Schwartz impersonation.
Oh.
I know. Terrible, right? I don't know if I'll be able to forgive myself. But what I do think is absolutely.
Yeah, you lost me with that one.
Oh, I'm not going to do this one. I had a bit. Where I had the recording of that guy describing the four old ladies beating the absolute dog shit stuffing.
You guys, I just didn't get this way over my head.
I'm going to save that for next week then.
Yeah, I couldn't get
so, it. So it's just the funniest voice recording in history. Kind of went over my sweetie's head as far as like why it's funny, but it's kind of like dude funny.
Yeah.
It really is kind of dude funny.
I usually get a lot of dude jokes, but yeah, I guess.
No, you get dude jokes. It's like you had to go there mentally
and visualize
it. I just
couldn't understand first off even what the guy was saying because he was like
laughing
really
so hard.
Really laughing very hard. Yeah.
Oh,
it's hard to even
everything.
Hear what this dude's saying.
I understood it clearly, and you will understand it clearly next week when we go over that. So we're not gonna do that one.
Oh, good. I don't have headphones on anyway.
Exactly. Would there be zero point in me doing that? So now that I realize that and you don't have headphones, I can't play like any clip, of course, that would be relevant to you. And there is some crazy shit. For the 100th episode, I will play a clip of an ex-Men in Black operative making a deathbed confession.
What episode are you at?
I'm at like 74.
Oh, wow. Okay, well.
So yeah, that's a few weeks from now.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking crazy. Yeah, we're going to go off the deep end for episode 100 in the spirit of Bill. Bill Cooper, you animal, you. So let me see. I got that. Black operative.
It'll be for like New Year, basically, the 100th episode.
Do you want to plug that in and like at least get like one ear? You could take these.
Sure.
And I can, do you know how to do that? Of course you are. You're a clever girl. Clever girl. Then you get the fork, buddy. All right, she's unwinding them. Marvelous.
Okay.
She is figuring out that. Oh, that's inverted. Boom. Like a snap. Here, you can take these.
No, I don't mind these ones.
Then, like, switch outlets with me so you can get at least the full hearing.
Whatever.
So I can. Hello, Clarice. Hello. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you see me? Excellent. All right.
You can probably be turned down a little bit, maybe my headphones.
Your headphones are?
Just a tiny bit down.
I think they're up.
I don't need it too loud. Oh, no, yeah.
Too loud?
Mm-hmm.
How about now?
Yeah, that's a little bit. Nope, it's pretty loud now.
Now?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
What?
Sorry, something was going on with the little switchboard because I am the... the
walrus.
Producer in chief. I am the walrus as well. Hopefully never. God, dude.
No.
Trying to do the five routes again and get my shit.
No,
okay, but what was really
song,
cool about
though.
This? It is. I was thinking about crappy Beatles songs like a minute ago and like how much drugs they were on.
You were?
When doing like,
maybe
yeah.
That's why
Yellow
it came
Submarine.
In my head all weird like that. Like,
yeah.
I think that walrus.
Yeah, that's a great conspiracy that the guy that's been playing Paul McCartney, that Paul McCartney's been dead for like 30 or 40 years and this British guy just like took over his life and he's just like a mediocre singer. And it's like, oh, Paul's still, he's a little off today.
Mm.
You know? Oh, but this is even a better conspiracy. Here is a sound bite of the chief of disguise for the CIA. Her name is Jonah Mendez telling Jennifer Hudson, a terrified looking Jennifer Hudson, about the level of mask that the CIA had when George H.W. Bush was president. We're talking the 80s. The kind of like, you know, like the Ethan Hawke kind of Mission Impossible kind of flush to the face. Like you wouldn't be able to tell the difference kind of mask. Well, this lady is basically saying that in the 1980s they had that. And there's also like a lot of really cool memes where you see Joe Biden's like neck looks like it's ruffling, like he like would move it around.
Mm-mm.
So a lot of people would just think that somebody like in a Joe Biden mask. And anyone could be that. And this lady basically confirmed this technology that they have. So let me see if I can cue it up. It's so nuts.
That's pretty nuts.
Here, wait. I'm going to... This is where I can waste time. Like, Jamie, can you cue that up, please? Yeah, okay, we got it now? Okay, great.
I was chief of disguise.
What all did that entail?
The office I worked in was like the Q in James Bond. We were the Q for the CIA and the intelligence community. So there were different parts of it. Whatever you needed, if you needed a bug, if you needed secret writing or a micro dot or a concealment device or whatever you needed, you had to come to us and we'll put something together for you.
What's the most memorable moment from being in disguise for you?
There were a number of them, but one that has to stand out, I went to the White House, mm-hmm. and I briefed George H.W. Bush, the president at the time, while I was wearing a full face mask. So we're sitting like this close together, and I'm telling him that I'm going to show him the best disguise that we have. And he's looking for a bag, like, where is it? I said, well, I'm wearing it, and I'm going to take it off. And I reached to start taking it off, and he said, stop. And he got up, and he walked, and he looked, and he looked. And he didn't know it was a mask. He wasn't sure what I was wearing. He sat back down. He said, okay. So I took it off, and I was holding it up in the air so he could see it. My whole head. It had hair and a face and a neck.
So you could walk around as someone else.
Absolutely.
And that would be the disguise.
Absolutely. I was chief of disguise.
What?
So this woman was the chief of disguise at the CIA, the equivalent of James Bond's helper, the Q. Oh, James, I have a new watch for you. This one has, trank dot in it, and it has, like this tracking device and laser beam. So, has all the doodads and gadgets for the CIA spies. This lady was in charge of that entire office in the 80s. Excuse me. So if they needed a mask, they said that the mask was so real that it fooled the president of the United States in the 1980s, which means it was flush against the neck. Because I've had this feeling like the Pope Francis has been dead for 6 months, and this is some asshole impersonating him.
Yeah, it could be.
And Joe Biden doesn't consistently look like Joe Biden.
No.
When he's doing speeches, you do close-ups of his eyes. Or he has different shaped ears and eyes, and it's
totally.
What this lady's describing
it's
was
very possible.
Tech
it's
that's
not
30 years ago.
To me.
30 years ago, the president couldn't tell. And that was 1986. He was a president until 88.
Mm. Wow.
So, yeah, anybody can walk around with a mask and they couldn't tell. She's like, I'm wearing it right now. And it scared the shit out of the president, who happened to be the ex-head of the CIA. So she scared the crap out of a spy. It was so realistic looking. Because George Bush Jr. Yeah. Sr.'s father, blah, 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 was a spy and head of the spies.
Yeah, that's pretty wild information. I mean,
that's pretty nuts, right?
So she just came out recently saying this, right?
Yeah.
This lady.
Yeah, it's freaking mind-blowing.
Yeah, pretty amazing. That is mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. But also, not surprising. A lot of these celebrities and politicians all just kind of look like that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the Ozempic doing that, though. I'm nervous for my friend. I'm not going to say who is taking Ozempic right now. And there's a phenomenon going around called Ozempic face.
Mm.
Sharon Osbourne stuff. It makes you have this gaunt, remember Beetlejuice after they start sucking the energy out of homegirl boy? They're and
they also basically
they're
starving themselves?
It's kind of basically
so it's
doing
anorexia
that.
And a pill. With some
I don't know if
it.
It's anorexia. Holy shit.
Well, if you're not eating much, then...
Possibly. Possibly.
That's how anorexia people look. It's very drawn.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. Their bone structure stands out.
Yep.
So hopefully that person doesn't go too overboard with whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll also, mix that with other stuff.
So, we get to Mount Shasta.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. We're eating all kinds of food. We're running into all kinds of family. We get the milk from the heavens. God bless.
So good.
Abby's sister is an aspiring dairy farmer. And da milk is dat good, man.
Yep.
Like,
it is phenomenal.
It's totally a different level when it's not
so good.
Pasteurized and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So delicious.
And, what a treat. That was a great treat.
We watch softball tournaments.
We watch a lot of softball, college softball on TV.
Yes, yes. There's no pro league, unfortunately. Talking to the all-girls baseball team could make a fucking comeback, dude.
Yeah, it's true. Yep, you were just saying that last night.
Dottie Hanson at the plate. It'd be hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Girls would kick that ass. But
yeah, fun to watch.
It was fun to watch in between awesome meditations and purchases at Soul Connection.
Yeah, and just walkabouts.
Oh, yeah. The walkabouts are great.
Beautiful weather. Beautiful weather.
It was.
Yep. A lot of snow, a lot of green, a lot of water everywhere. Yeah. Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful lakes and rivers and waterfalls.
Yeah. We wake up at 5 nice in the morning time. To do our meditation because that's when the moonrise is going over Lhasa, Tibet. It goes beautifully. Very vivid visions.
Mm-hmm.
And...
The celebration
was very beautiful. And then later that night, we run into this awesome Buddhist monk and these people that are, I don't know, in his care or he in their care. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But yeah, it seemed like mutual.
It did seem pretty mutual.
Yeah, like they were the material guys and he was doing stuff.
Yeah.
In honor of Buddha. It was a Thailandese monk. And we shared a beautiful tea, you know, just giving the shirt off my back. Tea.
And then your jacket
it was beautiful
to the lady.
Because
yeah.
It was cold, and I was like, "This is communion right here." And
it was
I felt like everything going forward is going to make a lot more sense to everybody. It's not going to be obvious why everybody's doing what they're doing, but I think it'll be obvious to everyone what they need to do. And this coming energy.
Yeah, I like that.
I had magnificent, I had some like amazing and disturbing like past life kind of past incarnation insights. But, you know, made me even more grateful for everything that is how it is right now in life and how my life is gone. Is like so sweet. So sweet. And everything worked out so perfectly. I thought the synchronicity was really flush. Coordinating with your family, like when to hang out, when to go hike.
Yeah. All the timings of everything worked out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, some pool swims and sauna.
That was great, nice having the whole health club to ourselves.
And yeah, there's a lot of clarity. You know, it's really clear up there.
It's very clear. The water so delicious. Right out of the tap, you
Everything
guys.
Is very delicious there.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, we got some nice veggies from the Soul Connection farm. Or greenhouse or whatever.
Yeah, I was sad and disappointed at first that they weren't doing a sound healing.
Yeah, for those who listen to our podcast from last year.
That's the new Tibetan bell I got, and I rang it extra hard because I don't know if this microphone's picking it up, but it is delicious.
I feel like you can hear it, maybe.
Perhaps, probably.
Yeah, hard
More
to tell
on your
the
microphone.
Headphones.
Yeah,
I could have angled it.
But
that way.
It is F and it is B simultaneously, so it kind of addresses the heart and the crown at the same time.
Nice.
I freaking love it. We tested out every dang Tibetan bowl.
Yeah, we were tripping out in the store, testing out
so much vibration.
All the bowls. It was cool.
Yeah, man. We cheered up a upset Thailandese restaurateur who was starting to like blame his clientele and get mad at them. He's kind of like the Thai food Nazi.
Yeah.
Like he'll lecture you, you know. If you come in with too many people.
know what.
But once you leave, once you've eaten and been frustrated at how long it's taking, basically he has like four burners in the back. It's just like one little kitchen.
Yeah.
And during this time of year, well, mostly all mountain towns.
His genius wife
cooks. As
you
may know if you know mountain towns at all, it just is like that. They're just, they're not busy because nobody really lives there. And then all of a sudden, just tons of people come because it's like a gorgeous weekend.
That 25 top looked like it was undoing his
mind.
It was
a huge Indian family. Huge.
Yeah.
So many people. And we walk in right when they're basically eating. So they had just finished making. And then, but there was tons of people waiting to even wait for their food to get cooked because of that big table. So we chilled. We hung out and just spread the love there. Yeah.
About those hikes. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there were some great hikes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was pretty, the one at the waterfall.
Which one?
No,
just the Three Waterfalls
one? At the Three Falls.
Yeah, remember that bird was kind of doing that weird entrance and exit thing?
Yeah, we're like standing in front of this huge waterfall. It was like pretty wide, you know, big and wide. And really a far ways, pretty far ways down. I can assume, I bet you it was 100 feet, that waterfall, right?
At least.
At least. It's pretty big size waterfall. This is called Middle Falls.
I think so.
But I'm pretty sure it's named after something else.
I don't know.
Anyway, whatever. It's these great waterfalls.
Mount Shasta Falls.
Sacramento River. And yeah, Mount Shasta is in the background. And yeah, there's this little bird. All of a sudden I notice, a bird just came and landed like in the middle of the waterfall. So I'm like, hey, wait, look at this. This bird just landed in the middle of this waterfall. And then all of a sudden we're just standing and staring and looking at the waterfall. And then the little birdie comes out and he goes and flies over to the other side of the waterfall, like on the edge of it. And he's just sitting there. And then all of a sudden he just decides, oh, I'm going back in. And he just swoops and flies right back into the middle of the fall. It was so cool.
So you're saying he swooped then?
Yeah, he swooped. That's what I say, swooped a lot.
He does. I say it now too.
It's a great word.
Do you love it when you take on like swooped your wife or your husband's word. Little colloquialisms?
And yeah, that birdie was so,
so
cute going in
it
behind
was a cool
the waterfall.
Metaphor.
It was neat.
Finding hidden entrances
for like hiding,
and
hiding
hidden dimensions, especially within ourselves. I was like, I really, really found a lot of that.
It was amazing.
Up in Mount Shasta. Mm-hmm. Went up many times. And then when we were hiking back or like walking down this little trail, these two bucks, these two like
this juvenile tight part of deer, the trail.
Deer.
Tight part of the trail. It was like
came
a big
within
rock
like 20
on one
feet
side.
Of us, and we were just like, huh? Like, totally. I looked up, and they looked up and was like, oh, didn't see you there. And there was like growing antlers and everything. It just kind of galloped right near us.
Yeah, they just realized. It looked up like,
we saw so much wildlife.
We're on the people trail. And then they just headed down into the forest.
Yeah, what
river.
Was the other wildlife? We came across like a bunch of stuff.
We saw a huge doe when we were on that hike with
Dad. Oh, my
Dad.
God, dude, on the PCH? PHC?
The Pacific Crest Trail.
Crest Trail, the PCT.
PCT.
Okay, and that's the long trail that goes from Mexico all the way to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're hiking on this mama jamma and
yeah.
saw this lady from like, looked like Sweden or something. She was like watering
she
herself.
Sounded like that, yeah.
Yeah, she had Kanyurgan in her
she was just
Oregon,
filling up her water jug.
Kanyurgan Birgen.
She wasn't watering herself.
Stubens.
We were also Stubin getting Gretzen. Water. It was really hot and warm and nice and sunny.
So hot. Mm. And then we're like, they left. Abby's like, oh, a deer. And I'm looking over for like, you know,
deer
like a small
distance.
Doe in somewhere in the distance. I look and there's the biggest female deer you've ever
like
seen.
Like 100 feet away.
In the shadow of like a toppled tree, like the root system. And she's just trying to keep it shady.
There. I think she was going to have a baby.
And Abby was like, I think she's pregnant. She had a vibe about that. Cause
and because she just looked
she
up
just, like,
all
looked
graceful
up at us.
At
like,
us.
Sup?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't
her ears
have...
just like went up a little and was like, oh, you guys? And we were just like,
the faintest
hi. Like, we didn't
fear
even say
us.
Anything. And then we just started walking away. And so she just was chilling. Yeah. I bet she was going to have a baby.
Why?
Because she was so calm and docile like that. Usually when deers notice, a person notices them, they start running the other way. And she didn't even move. And she was just like all nestled up against that tree, like you're saying. And like no one else is there. It's like a very empty, but like meadowy kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
It was very like that.
It was very
it was like
meadowy.
A meadow, but it was also had some trees kind of hanging around, and nobody else was there. Like really, it was just like one little teeny walkway. Yeah,
it was kind
it
of
was
a teeny
beautiful.
Walkway, but I could see why someone would want to like how that pilgrimage, why someone would want to do like the whole thing.
Yeah, totally.
Because just the small stretch of that, I was like, mm-hmm. wow, that's a whole nother adventure all by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, we went on
Pacific
like a mile
Coast
of it.
Trail.
Crest.
Pacific Crest Trail, not
yeah,
Coast.
Yeah, it goes
crest.
Up and over a lot of crests.
Okay, seems. Is that why?
Yeah, basically.
Crest brought to you by like the toothpaste?
Oh, God, I
sponsoring?
Hope not.
No, because they can sponsor everything nowadays.
Sure can.
Yeah.
They're going down, though, all those companies. So.
They're going down.
It's going down.
No, cause going down. Because, yeah, they found out, like, what about Tom's?
Yeah, not Colgate owns Tom's.
Yeah.
We realized.
Ew, I couldn't believe that. So, ew, anti-ad for Tom's. Because
mm-hmm.
We bought like a tube of toothpaste, and the thing ends up being like smaller. You know, like the Oreo got smaller, and all the serving sizes, they're getting like less generous and charging us more.
Yeah.
You know, they have the balls to do that. Well, our two, like Tom's, even the hippie toothpaste that we buy, because it has no fluoride, allegedly.
Allegedly. And I've been using it since the 90s when my dad bought it for me as a child. But yeah, no, they're down the hole. We realize Colgate owns them. And also, just really, the tube is
like
smaller for
like
probably more money. So,
yeah.
It's done. So now we got this cool powdered toothpaste from the
It's like old timey. Feel like I hunt bears now. It's because I eat.
That'd be if you were just dipping it in straight baking soda.
Yeah.
But
you think that'd be too much?
No, Dad said that's what he does.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
You don't have to kiss your daddy.
Hippie
you got to kiss
ways.
Me on the mouth.
It's true. Well, so far, the kissing's just fine with this new toothpaste,
okay,
don't you
great.
Think?
Yeah. I've enjoyed the kissing very much.
Yeah.
I should, you know, like shave for like smoother smooching.
Mm, for sure.
Yeah. Getting a little rocky there.
Yeah. So I think that was the whole trip, really.
Was that the whole thing?
I don't know. The meditations were really nice.
Yeah. I thought they were really, really powerful.
Yeah. We couldn't hike the mountain, though. It was too much
Couldn't
snow.
Hike it the way you wanted, you know?
Like we like to. We like to just go get up in there.
We like to get up in
and
there.
And we couldn't because
up
there was
in
too
that
much
trail.
Snow.
In
so.
The crevasse.
There are other trails lower
to go
down. But
through the crevasse. Sorry, that's
don't
wrong.
Don't go to them.
No, we don't. We don't. It's true. Because like camping near snow, we're kind of pussies, right?
I'm not saying
are we
camping.
Installing
I just mean hiking.
Oh,
down
hiking?
At the other trails that are not up where there's snow. Like there are other trails that are technically on Mount Shasta, but they're just not up where we like to hike when there's no snow.
I guess. It was fun. Yeah. It was fun. Like I had a good time because we spent 14 days of like not working and
doing whatever.
Just
treating
eating
ourselves.
Really good and
lots of pastries.
Oh, so many pastries, you guys. Oh, fuck.
I had more
those
pastries.
Ones in Dunsmuir. We go into this little cafe in Dunsmuir with her dad and Abby's dad, sister, her sister's husband, and we're all there trying to chill. And they're like, "Oh, I hear they have good pastries." I said, "Okay, cool." We go in this gorgeous like little bakery, and the breakfast sandwiches were as good. It'd make you cry. They're so good. You know, the biscuits were melty. And then I was like, one of everything almost, you know, I was like, no, except for that shit. But we had like chorizo and fucking, oh my God, so many, anything with sugar in it, we got it.
Yeah, then we also
scones, fuck. And
scones,
then this lady and this guy, this couple, she's like singing, whistling, and playing violin. This guy's playing French cafe kind of music. And
guitar, I think
the ambiance was just spectacular.
It was cute out in this little rocky backyard.
Absolutely cool. Spectacular.
Cool patio.
Oh.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And that was nice. I think the place is called Be Kind, like with B-E-E.
B-E-E.
B-E's, like bees.
Oh.
Honey bees.
I see.
Because it's a bakery.
Soka.
Honey. Yeah.
Soka.
It was delicious and it was wonderful.
Yeah, the whole trip pretty much was.
It was very much like that, all the things of the trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I look forward to it again.
Me too. I love it every time.
I do too.
It's a lovely, lovely trip up.
It felt like after doing the meditations, the ones that bring us out to more of a cosmic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel like to you that 2025 is going to be very, very intense? It's going to follow up like a very intense 2024. But that 2025 is also going to have a great deal of, I don't know, motion, pressure.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to have all those things.
With like little pockets of peace and tranquility and harmony that will eventually expand. But these, I don't know, just sense like these implosions.
Yeah.
That are going to happen in 2025 and 2026. Mm-hmm. That was the impression I got.
It's going to be a lot. A lot of things coming, I think. Like there's already been.
There's already been.
Just feel like, well, we already kind of knew this anyway when this 2024 started, but it's very much like, oh, it's this truth year.
It is. It is. If you haven't had an opportunity, this podcast is awesome, but Terrence Howard, the actor, did one with Joe Rogan, and it was like reality changing. His interpretation of like the chemical, this, while on this trip, I'm hearing this because I'm like, I wonder what kind of shifts will happen as a result of the ceremonies that we're doing in, you know, worldwide, like what's going on. Mm-hmm. And Terrence Howard goes on the Joe Rogan podcast and changes humanity, changes mathematics, changes the periodic table of chemistry, flight. Like the dude just went, hi, everybody. I am Tony Stark. I am Nikola Tesla.
Oh, wow.
And had the craziest podcast I've ever heard to date. So if you haven't checked that out yet, please check that out. It was like one of the most wizardy things you could possibly do.
Yeah. Cool.
Because it was like, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. Like it just blew. It's one of those things where like it blows your mind and you'd be like, I don't know if I understood a lot of that, but yeah. And even Joe would say that, but it just went on and on and on. Like this guy was just pouring forth everything out of himself that he'd been holding back this whole time.
Wow.
And cool. I was like, wow, that possibly changed humanity right there.
Wow. Right on. Well, that's pretty cool. And I guess like, you know, we just have to keep being positive about things and sending love there and it's just...
Oh yeah, that's another thing.
Tough years coming. That's like that's the best thing that we can.
You're going to be watching TV, right?
Spread the peace.
Yeah, spread the peace. No, this isn't a good segue to that. Never mind.
No, I feel like I already talked about a lot of things like that too.
Well, this is also that one thing with the commercials that they come on right after in a very emotional thing in either the movie or the show, like. If it's a game show, they're trying to drive up, congratulations, or oh, no. Yeah. And then like, brought to you by, and then like then the commercial, like, does your cat need a new pooper scooper? Come over here. Because it drives your emotional chemicals up, and then it gives you a thought form, which is the company's product.
Yeah, it was like Twister was on, and it was like Twister was on. Tense Twister
hurry
part.
Up, get out, everybody, get out of here.
Yeah,
oh
it's
no!
Like,
is that another spill on the table?
Yeah, bounty.
We'll get
commercial.
Bounty, and your internal thing is going. Oh fuck! We just survived like running after a Twister or something like that. Or they'll like be playing the plucky sad music, and then you know then it'll be like brought to you by, and then like a Pfizer commercial comes on that has like 9 side effects, but it looks like people that are happy, but they're like bowl of wax fruit happy. Because they fucking drive your emotions up with the TV show or the movie or the game show. For good or for bad, they try to get a velocity of emotion happening. And that's when they cut to commercial. Like, they never cut during a dull moment. They're going to do it right at a peak. Like, and then it's like, okay, shark's about to bite in the camera. And then it goes, are you hungry for... Yeah. My hungry boys, you got the fucking... What were those? Like, Costitos?
Oh, yeah.
Tostitos for my hungry boys.
yeah, something like that.
Right after like a pinnacle moment. So I'm just giving you ideas of like how your consciousness is being manipulated by either like commercials or like about like what it means to be good as defined by the bad guys. You know, maybe we don't let the bad guys define what being good is. Sometimes being good is decimating evil to completion. So let me see what else here.
Also, yeah, just paying attention to your emotions when you're listening and watching things like that. Because then, the programming thing won't take you over so hard.
And on that note, I am in fact going to play the funniest voice recording to ever live. Abby has both headphones on. I only have a half headphone on, and I still think that this is going to hit harder. And fellas, I know that you get this at the very least, because you can visualize.
What? Oh, that's the joke thing.
You hear that voice of anticipation?
Again? You're just going to magnificent. Play all these things.
No, just this one. Just. I was being facetious. I was trying to make it sound like you know, weren't capable of enjoying the moment of it like a homie. But I didn't want to diss you like that. So as a man of equal quality, I was going to be like, give you the chance to laugh at this moment again. To see if it's funnier the second time around.
Okay, maybe it is. But I'm all the way paying attention.
You're all the way paying attention. And remember, it's just, the guy's just talking. This is a voicemail guy. He's in the middle of leaving a voicemail about a business thing. Saying, okay, you know, basically I'm going to get the thing out to you on Thursday. Boo, 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 boo. And he's talking regular business. And then something happens in front of him. And he starts describing on the voicemail what's happening in front of him. And I think it's hysterical. So let's...
It's like 5 minutes long.
No, it's not. It's 3 minutes long.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Hey, Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face and he's on his knee. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse and she's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman
So this guy's given a play-by-play of these four old ladies kicking the dog shit out of a guy that hit them by running a red light, and then he had the balls to get out of his car and give them shit, these four old ladies. And the first thing they do is roll down their window and pepper spray the son of a bitch in his face and drop him to his knees, which was absolutely hilarious. And then, in case you couldn't see, he's laughing his ass off describing this. He said, this one woman with a little black purse, she's tomahawking him, man. She looks like some sort of 20 horsepower jackhammer. Bam, bam, bam. We got another woman that's... She's hitting him like she's got a cattle prod. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. This is absolutely hysterical.
She's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. There's another one. A little woman who looks like Mother Goose.
A little woman who looks like Mother Goose.
She beat him. She beat him. She's got this huge big bag.
She beat him with this huge bag.
She's got this huge big bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 feet. Says about nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version.
It was a hardback NVI version. She's still beating the hell out of this guy.
She picked this Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. Still, they're still hitting him. The one with the little black person is still. Oh, pieces of it. okay, he's up on the car.
It's just the guy cracking up now for a while.
It said little old Mother Goose is still beating him with that big bag. She picked up a Bible and started beating him with a big Bible. She's like, that's an NVI Bible.
Oh, which must be an extra thick, extra huge Bible that was in her bag.
They're definitely in the South, obviously.
It's so funny. It's awesome. Funny.
I love that the ladies kick his butt because it was totally his fault. Hitting them.
Oh, this is too good.
That's what pure joy sounds like, friends. I gotta go. Just laughing his ass off. That's why it's okay when shit goes down in front of you, and some shit is gonna go down in front of you probably in the next year or so. Feel free to hysterically point and laugh at it, because that is how absurd it is. I don't know if it's gonna be four old ladies beating the tar out of a guy who had the balls to hit them and then criticize them.
Yeah.
But it'll be something. There's gonna be some ridiculous shit that you can point at, sneer at, and just be like, that's stupid. And just laugh in its stupid face. You don't have to take it seriously. Like, life is like that. People are driving like shit. Who cares? Mm-hmm. People got their heads up their ass. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, totally.
It's nothing to do with you.
Nope. No, it doesn't.
No. Go enjoy your vacations. Go have a good fucking time. And treat yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I think awesome. You've been talking about that a lot of episodes this year.
Yeah. Have I? So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yep. I mean it. Mm-hmm. We spent a stupid Isn't amount of money it? On friggin' food and
Not
having a
really.
Good time.
I mean,
oh, dude.
Anything about it?
It wasn't stupid, but it was kind of dumb.
No.
Dumb, like delicious dumb. Good dumb.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We were just on vacation. So we weren't making any food. I made a few
Lazy
things.
Cause.
I made a few things.
Yeah, you did. Oh, we had some delicious homemade stuff. It was really, really good.
We did have some few good things.
So, yeah, I know that wasn't exactly sweeping as far as like taking you on our journey with us, you know, or the minutia of the awesome shit that happened. But there was a lot of miracles that happened. Some too personal to describe on the radio show, but
totally
miracles nonetheless. A wife's knowing that.
Exactly.
Yes, of course. So, anywho, we hope that you meditated during the full moon. There's another powerful full moon coming, and I would invite you to...
June.
Yeah, June. There was an awesome planetary alignment yesterday, day and a half ago.
I think it was 2 days ago, yeah.
Yeah.
June 3rd, maybe.
Sure.
Sometime. With some powerful alignment of planets, and then... huge truth things are starting to come out now, so.
Yep. Yeah. It's awesome. Pretty fucking awesome.
It's all happening, people.
Yes, it is.
It's all happening.
And it's happening to and for
Keep
you.
Keep the joy going.
Yeah. Go on long road trips. Enjoy nature. And yeah, work when you feel like it. Work when it feels good.
Exactly. Live it up.
Till then, play around. Have fun. And
thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being on the program. Thanks for, yakking it up with me.
Yakking
it up with me. So I appreciate that. I really do. So.
You're welcome.
I love you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having me. I love you too very much.
Aww.
I love you all. Thank you.
Yay. Love you all too. Peace and aloha.